This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:17 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run on Tuesday, February the 8th with Shazana Xiaoning and Chen Li. But in the meantime, we have Johor on our minds. Get it? Like Georgia on my mind. Now it's Johor.
It doesn't have the same tune, Shaz.
It doesn't. That's true. The Election Commission will meet tomorrow to finalize dates for nomination and polling day for the Johor state elections. So in anticipation of these state polls, political parties have kick-started campaign machinery since last week with a flurry of events taking place. So Barisan Nasional launched their Western Region election machinery in Iskandar Putri last Friday, attended by UMNO, MCA and MIC leaders.
So yesterday, we looked at UMNO's prospects in the state, and today we're continuing the discussion with a look at MCA's chances in revival of Johor. In GE14, MCA contested in 15 Johor state seats and lost all of them. Having previously held 8 seats, MCA President Dato' Sri Wee Ka Siong holds one of only 2 parliamentary seats, namely Ayer Hitam. So will we see an MCA resurrection in Johor in tandem with renewed confidence in UMNO's return to power?
So joining us on the line for analysis is Dr. James Chin, lecturer in Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania. James, good morning. It's always good to have you. So MCA was all but decimated in Johor during GE14. What do you make of their chances this time around, having seen a sort of national revival under the Berikatan national government?
All right. A very good morning to you. So MCA is under Barisan Nasional, not under Berikatan.
That's true.
Yep. So in terms of this upcoming Johor election, I suspect MCA will do quite well. And the reason is there appears to be a mood among the electorate that is moving back to Barisan Nasional. So MCA will probably benefit from this wave moving back to UMNO and within the larger framework, Barisan Nasional. I think several things will work in MCA's favour. Besides the fact that there is a sort of a trend moving back to Barisan Nasional, I think within the Chinese community itself, 2 things that will benefit the MCA, of course, is that a lot of Chinese in Johor are quite angry with the MCA. And some of this anger may spill over. For example, people refusing to come out to vote. The former opposition diehard supporters may not come out to vote, and they'll probably use COVID as an excuse. Secondly, I think there is some turbulence inside DAP itself. So some of the DAP members inside the party may not be working hard to help the DAP retain some of the seats they won in 2018. So for all those reasons, I suspect the MCA will do better this time around.
Sorry, James, I want to clarify. You say that the people are angry at DAP or are they angry at MCA?
They're angry at DAP and the whole Pakatan, the 22 months Pakatan was in power. And here I'm specifically referring to the Chinese community. Mm. There's a lot of anger. As you know, right, one of the key issues in Johor was the UEC issue. And of course, DAP play very hard on this theme before 2018, that if they do become part of the federal government, they will ensure that UEC will be recognized. So after 22 months, it was quite clear that although DAP worked very, very hard to try to get UEC to be recognized, they could not overcome the opposition from Mahathir. Mahathir just refused to recognize the Chinese Independent School Qualification, UEC. So I think that did a lot of damage to DAP and DAP's standing within the Johor Chinese community.
Okay, it sounds like at this moment that, you know, the anger against DAP is benefiting MCA, but MCA alone, let's just look at them. What campaign strategy do you think they will run this time?
Well, basically, the MCA can't really run on things like, influence policy making, all this sort of thing. Basically, their campaign measure has always been political stability, more economic opportunities for the Chinese to make sure that the government doesn't pass anti-Chinese policies. So it's very much the old approach. I don't think MCA has any new things to sell to the electorate. But given the national trend towards going back to the Barisan Nasional, I think one of the key arguments they will make was that you look at the past 4 or 5 years since 2018, we had a series of change of three regime, political instability, the country is going nowhere, you've got a COVID-19 pandemic, and you remember the time when the government was under Barisan Nasional, Although things were not so good, but at least we had political stability, we had steady economic growth, and the MCA was able to deliver some benefits to the Chinese community. So I think all this will play quite well for the electorate, the Chinese electorate, who are sort of sick and tired of all the shenanigans that has been happening since 2018.
So how much clout does the MCA have within Barisan Nasional in seat negotiations? What seats do you think will be contested among the BN parties?
So the golden rule in the Barisan Nasional is that you get to contest, you get first pick, or they won't disturb you if you had won the seat before, if you're the incumbent. But as you mentioned in your introduction, MCA lost all their seats. The good news for the MCA is that because they've lost all their seats, for Wee Ka Siong, if he can even win one or two seats back, right, that's 100%, performance measurement. So in terms of the seats, I expect MCA to actually get a big chunk of it, because don't forget, in 2018, some of the non-Malay seats or mixed seats had to be shared with Gerak Khan. So Gerak Khan has gone over to Perikatan, so MCA can claim on those seats held on by Gerak Khan. But of course, UMNO will not give all the Gerak Khan seats to MCA. I think they are quite generous in the sense that Johor is quite a unique case. I suspect they will allow MCA to get more than 1,000 seats. I mean, to contest, not to win, but to contest.
James, let's spend a bit of time on MCA itself. You know, give us some colour in terms of what's happening within the party. Is it united behind their party president, Wee Ka Siong? Because we know almost every other political party seems to be divided at this moment.
Yes. So MCA is fairly united. Johor, as I mentioned, is a special case. It is the home base for Wee Ka Siong. And Wee Ka Siong's political secretary has basically been running the state. He's running quite efficiently. This is quite a young guy. If I'm not mistaken, he's in his early 40s. He has done quite a good job in sort of revamping MCA. You have to remember, after 2018, MCA has gone quiet for almost 2 years. And then after 2020, after the first regime, second regime change, they came back because they were given a seat in the Perikatan government. So they had access to some government resources. So I think that played quite well into the game. And also, I think that this time around, because of the big broom that was brought into Johor MCA in 2018, I expect them to put up some glamour candidates. When I say some glamour candidates, I'm talking about very young people. These are people under 30 years old. I think MCA will run quite a number of those young candidates, like we saw in Malacca. They will go for that strategy again.
And you'd alluded to this earlier, James, regarding DAP and the challenges that they face. They're currently on a roadshow right now, unveiling their candidates one by one in the lead up to the polls, and I suppose to drum up support. Do you think they can drum up the support that they got in GE14, given the number of different issues that you mentioned earlier regarding why voters are angry with them right now?
Right. So DAP's biggest problem, as I mentioned earlier, is that the party in Johor is quite divided. The old gang that Liu Chin Tong got rid of in 2018, that gang is coming back far more united this time, and they all seem to work on a single issue, which is to ensure that DAP will do badly so they can use it as an excuse to attack Liu Chin Tong. So Chin Tong is a highly controversial figure within DAP Johor itself. I think the other big problem that MCA faces in Johor is that we've got the entry of Muda and Warisan. Muda struck Warisan. This new group appears to be making quite a lot of noise on the ground. And from the reports I've received, it looks like Muda has some momentum. Muda itself will also put up some glamour candidate. I'm not sure whether your listeners know that a very prominent tycoon, the daughter, has been offered a seat under Muda. And she's likely to stand in Johor. Now, the thing is, you have to remember, the voting group that is likely to vote for Muda traditionally are the same voters who are likely to vote for PKR and DAP. So Muda will probably eat into DAP's vote, split the vote, and that will allow Barisan Nasional to win on the other side. So this is a big issue for the DAP. I don't see a way out of this simply because Muda is not going to give way. This is Muda's debut election, and they can't afford to be seen giving up too much to people like Pakatan Harapan.
James, one last question from us. Maybe it's a bit too early to ask this question, but we always try. Is this Johor State elections Barisan Nasional's to lose?
Yes, it is in a way. My take is that Barisan will do very well. They are very likely to be on track to win a big victory. They might even get 2/3 majority. But the biggest casualty will not be Pakatan Harapan. The biggest casualty this time around will actually be Bersatu and probably PKR. These two are really in trouble on the ground in Johor. And if there's a repeat of what we saw in Melaka, right, then Bersatu is in big trouble in the next GE15. For PKR, I think a lot of people have sort of written them off with the fiasco, the logo, and the fact that a lot of people are coming around to the opinion that maybe it's time for Anwar to go. I think once this sort of sentiment gets hold on the ground, it's very difficult to reverse it. And I'm starting to see sentiments against Bersatu coming out very strongly in Johor.
James, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning. That was Dr. James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania, talking to us about the prospects for MCA, DAP, and hazarding a guess on whether Johor will be Barisan Nasional's to lose at this stage. At this stage, it does appear to be so, but lots of factors in play, and we'll certainly be in touch with James as the state elections develop.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.